Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website www.lmc.org.au.
Father God, we thank you so much for your goodness. We thank you so much for your love. And Father, we pray that today we would all experience your goodness, that you would lavish your love upon every single one of us, upon our mums, but upon all of us as we are here together in your name to experience your love. So Father, we pray your blessing would be upon this day for all of us, and we give you thanks and praise, mostly for who you are in our lives. And we pray these things, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, welcome. Welcome, church, to Mother's Day, and happy Mother's Day to all the mums out there. I hope you have been spoilt. I hope you are enjoying a nice cup of tea and you've had some great presents. I have decided to wear some of the presents that I got this morning. This lovely necklace here from my youngest child, Hazel. A lovely bracelet from my eldest daughter, Violet. And I've also got this little present. And I'm just wondering, kinder teachers, if you can explain to me exactly what this is supposed to be that my three-year-old brought home from kinder. It's a balloon full of sand. And I'm not sure if this is for me to practice my vacuuming because it's going to burst and put sand all over my house, or if it's supposed to be a stress ball or a paperweight. But thanks, Violet, and thanks to all the kinder teachers for this lovely gift. I'm not sure it will last all day or if it will make it into the cupboard, but I'm just going to look at that there today. Great. Excellent. So because it's Mother's Day, I have allowed myself a few treats in church this morning. I've got a cup of tea in my favourite Seinfeld mug. By the way, how lovely were all those gifts that we received in the mail? Who got a gift in the mail? Put your hand up, give us a shout out. We got some lovely gifts in the mail, and one of those gifts was a chocolate. Who ate their chocolate at the letterbox? I did, because I knew what it was. And I was tempted to eat the chocolates of my daughter's letters as well, because they went home when I got the mail. I thought they'll never know, but God will know, so I didn't eat them. I have taken their tea bags. And the other treat I've allowed myself this morning is I'm wearing my slippers in church. Because if I was at home right now, this is what I would be wearing. I would be wearing slippers and a socks, because I love slippers, and so I'm wearing my slippers. Yeah, how great. How great do my feet look? I'm comfortable, and it's Mother's Day, so it's fun. It's good fun. So it is Mother's Day today, and I am really conscious that it is not a day that everyone looks forward to. I know that it is a hard day for some people, and I'm very aware that there are people who have lost their mums, who would love to celebrate today with their mums and who can't. I know that there are people who would love to be a mum and who perhaps aren't yet. And I also know that not everyone's relationship with their mum is easy, and there can be tension and fractured relationships out there. And for a lot of us, we can't even celebrate today physically with our mums at lunch and dinner. And so it can be a bit of a weird day, and it can be a hard day. And it's a day that not everyone looks forward to. And I understand that. And I tried to be really, really conscious of that as I was preparing for this morning. And God actually gave me the word for today last year on Mother's Day. I believe I was making the bed at the time. I don't know why I remember that, but I do. And I believe it's a word that is for all of us, whether we are a mum or not, or whether we have our mum with us here or not. And so my message for this morning is grow in gratitude. Grow in gratitude. And it was a word, gratitude, that God gave me 12 months ago and put on my heart. And, you know, we can all grow in this area, no matter who we are, whether we're a mum, whether we're a husband or a teenager, a young adult, whether we're married or single. I believe that all of us can grow in this area. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about being a mum today, but I encourage you, don't tune out because you think it doesn't apply to you, because I promise you it does. So let's just pray and we'll get into things. Father God, we thank you for our mums. We thank you for the blessing that they are in our lives. And God, we also just pray for those people right now who may be hurting, who may find this day difficult. And Father, we pray that you would lavish your love upon them. Father, we thank you that you are a perfect Father. And so even if we haven't had perfect mothers, Father, we can look to you and know that we receive everything that we need from you. And so, Lord, I pray that you would be with those of us who find it hard today and that your peace and comfort would be with us. And God, I pray that you would give us ears to hear and you would speak individually and personally to every single person, no matter who we are. And we just pray that you would speak through me, I pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So today is my third Mother's Day. It's the third year that I have been a mother, and I am very grateful, so very grateful to be a mum. But do you want to know something? I don't always feel grateful. I don't always feel grateful. And there have been plenty of times over the years, and even recently, where I haven't enjoyed every aspect of motherhood. And honestly, that took me by surprise because I never expected that I wouldn't always feel grateful. I think before I had children and when I was pregnant, and because I'd wanted it for so long, I always imagined that I would just love every moment of it. And I was a bit shocked to find out that is not always the case. For me, some days the best time for me to be grateful is at nighttime when my children are sleeping. And I go into their rooms and I look at their faces and their sweet little chubby cheeks and Violet's curly angelic hair, and they look like angels straight out of heaven. And they're not talking, they're not giving you attitude, not screaming, not demanding food, talking back, making a mess, drawing on the walls, throwing food on the floor, hiding your phone all around the house, hiding vegetables when you're making dinner all over the house that you then spend half an hour looking for to complete the meal. And they're just quiet and it's peaceful and it's heaven. It's just heaven. There is nothing to complain about when they're sleeping. And, you know, it's really easy to complain. There is always going to be something that we can complain about, whether you're a mum or whether you're just a human being. And the easiest thing right now for me to complain about is my lack of sleep. And I always assumed that when my children started sleeping through the night, that I too would start sleeping through the night. And again, I was shocked to realise that no, that is not the case. And so my body clock, thank you to my children for this, my body clock is now set to wake up every morning between 3:30 and 4:30, pretty much every single morning. And some mornings I fall back asleep, others I don't. More often than not, I do not fall back asleep. And so sometimes I start my day at 4 a.m. or 3:30. And on those mornings, I can get up with a lot to complain about if I want. And if you add into that mix that when I am sleeping, when I actually am asleep, that I can get disturbed with my children wanting their water bottle refilled or help finding a toy that is lost in the covers, or they need to go to the toilet, or a husband who sleep talks and snores and who accidentally whacks me in the face as I sleep. I don't know why I said accidentally, because it is accidental. But if you combine all those things together, that's a real recipe for me to wake up in the morning and have a little bit of a grumble. And I'm sure if we all thought really hard about it, there is something that we could find to complain about. Because the natural nature of human flesh is to drift towards the negative. We don't have to try to find something to complain about. That comes easy. But what we do have to try to do is be thankful and grateful. And have a look at this passage in Numbers. And this is the Israelites, and they've come out of Egypt, and this is what they have to say about it. So Numbers 14, and I'll read verses 1 to 4. It says, "That night, all the members of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, 'If only we had died in Egypt or in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt?' And they said to each other, 'We should choose a leader and go back to Egypt.'" So these are people who have come out of Egypt, out of slavery, and who are now free, who have food, who have water, who have a cloud by day, who have fire by night, and they are complaining and they want to go back to Egypt to die. That's what's happening here. And my study Bible said this about the Israelites. It said that they forgot all the miracles the Lord had done for them. They despised his mercies and they spurned his might. In their ingratitude, they preferred death. In their ingratitude, they preferred death. And you read that and you hear that and you think, that's crazy. That's just crazy. Who would prefer that? And yet that was their complaint. That was their grumble. And the thing is, when we complain, complaining feeds ingratitude. Complaining feeds ingratitude. It's really hard to be grateful when you are complaining. There are a lot of things in my life that I have now that I once, years ago, prayed for. And I'm not saying that my life is perfect. I'm not saying everything's gone according to plan. But what I am saying is it is really easy to forget the blessings of God, just like the Israelites did. What have you got in your life right now that once amazed you? What have you got in your life right now that perhaps you once prayed for and now you complain about? Or maybe you don't complain about it, but you fail to be grateful and thankful for it. As a mum, I've found that it can sometimes be tempting to always look towards the next season when I'm finding things hard or when I'm having a grumble. And I get an attitude of, well, it'll be easier when the kids are older and they don't need naps. It'll be easier when the kids are toilet trained and I don't have to clean up that kind of mess anymore. It'll be easier when I can just put a meal in front of them, they'll just eat it. No hoo-ha, they'll just eat what I put in front of them. It'll be easier when, I don't know, we go for a walk and they're on their bikes and they don't get tired like a quarter of the way into the walk and then I have to carry the bikes all the way back. It'll be easier when they can sleep in every single day of the week. And it's really easy to think that the grass is always greener. I remember speaking to a mum years ago at church when I was in a newborn stage with Violet, when she was a newborn. And I don't know if I was talking to this other mum or complaining. I was just probably talking. And I was talking to her, and she had at that time at least one teenage daughter. And she said to me, she said, oh, I would take the newborn phase over the teenage phase any day of the week. And I looked at her and I thought, are you crazy? Like, are you actually crazy? What could be harder than what I'm doing right now? Than waking up all through the night and trying to settle a screaming baby who has wind and who won't go to sleep, and I'm not getting just a little bit of sleep, I'm getting no sleep. And then you get up and you just do it all over again. And I just couldn't understand that lady saying that. I thought, surely no teenager is worth that trade. Surely no teenager is worth that, because the teenagers are just like, they're easy. They're awesome. The teenagers in this church are like angels, man. They are just fantastic. And I know that there are probably parents that are just laughing at you going, just you wait, Nicole. But I think we have amazing teenagers in this church. And so the challenge for me, and maybe the challenge for you, is to be grateful for whatever season you are in right now. Whatever season you are in right now, we can learn to be grateful. Whether you are a mum and your season right now is homeschooling your children. And if you are a mum who is homeschooling your kids, you deserve a medal, and then you deserve a week at a spa, I think, because you are doing an amazing job. And shout out to all those mums. And perhaps you're someone else who is in a different season of their life. It is always going to be easy to find something to complain about, and there are always going to be hard times, but we don't have to complain. There is another alternative. We don't have to be like the Israelites. Check this out in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and I've got the Amplified version. It says this, Paul's saying this, in every situation, no matter what the circumstances, be thankful and continually give thanks to God, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. One commentary put it like this. It said, you should always be full of thanksgiving. And so if you have a cup and you are the Seinfeld cup, your cup should always be full to the top of thanksgiving. Not just like a little bit of thanksgiving down here and then like the rest of like complaining and grumbling, but full to the top all the time of thanksgiving. And it goes on and it says, this clause hardly enforces thanksgiving as a duty, but rather encourages the Thessalonians to see thankfulness is always possible. And I just love that. Thanksgiving is not a duty, and thanksgiving is always possible. No matter how much sleep I've woken up and I've got, I can always be thankful. I can be thankful for the sleep I did get, even though I probably want to think about all the sleep that I didn't get. So no matter who you are, no matter what you're going through or what your circumstances are, it is always possible to be thankful. thankful. It is always possible to be full. And it's not just possible, but it actually says in the scripture that this is the will. This is God's will for each of us. It is God's will for every single person to be full of thanksgiving. I just think that's amazing. That is scripture. That is not my words. That is the Bible. And notice that in the Amplified Version, it actually says to be thankful and then to give thanks. And so there's actually a little difference between those two things. And so firstly, to be thankful, that's an attitude. So that's having an attitude and a mindset that is thankful and is grateful. When we live from a place of gratitude, it changes everything. When we start our day with thanks, it actually influences the kind of day that we are going to have. And sometimes we need to remember that we can choose and we can decide the tone of our day and the attitude of day just by being thankful, regardless of the events that happen in that day. I love this quote. I found this quote and I just love it. It says this: it is not the happy people who are grateful. It's the grateful people who are happy. Grateful people who are happy. It doesn't matter what you got. It doesn't matter who you are. It's about the kind of attitude that you have. Let's have a thankful attitude. And then Paul says to continually give thanks. And so this is about saying thank you. It's about verbalizing the mindset of thanks that we have. And it's really funny when you listen to kids talk in general, and it's really funny when you listen to them give thanks or when they say grace at mealtime. And my three-year-old, Violet, she says grace like this, exactly like this every single night. Violet, if you're watching, I hope I get this right. Dear Jesus, thing of my food, blessing my bodies, amen. I don't know if you understood that. That's how she says it. She talks faster than me sometimes. She says, dear Jesus, thank you for my food. Bless it to my body. Amen. I don't know if anyone else's kids say grace like that in a similar way. And she's always very eager to eat her food. And I don't say grace that way. But notice, I don't know if you picked it up in my reenactment, that she leaves out the line of bless the hands that have prepared the food. She just leaves that line out. She doesn't do it on purpose. She just does. She just leaves it out. And as the one who has prepared the food, I feel like that's an important line in the saying of grace. And I actually once got in trouble for interrupting grace at some friends' houses. We were at some friends' house for dinner. There was a few adults. I'm not talking in the third person, by the way. It's not about me and Aaron. It's about someone else. And the wife had prepared this feast of a meal, and the husband was saying grace. And so we're all saying grace. And he got to the end, and he too, like Violet, had missed that line about bless the hands that had prepared the food. And I thought, he's going to say amen in a second, and he hasn't thanked his wife for making this food. I thought, I better say something, because if he's not, I better. And so I just interjected my 2 cents worth, and I said that line, bless the hands that have prepared the food. And everyone looked up and looked at me, and then he said amen. And I got in trouble for that from my husband on the way home in the car, because it is rude to interrupt grace at someone else's house. But I was really passionate about that line being said, as you can probably tell. And then Hazel, my 2-year-old, she says grace different again. She says it like this: dear Jesus, amen. She just misses the whole middle bit, the bit about the food and the blessing and the hands. She just has the start and the end. Dear Jesus, amen. And if it wasn't so adorable, I'd slap that food out of her hand and make her say it again. But it's so cute the way she says it, I let it slide. I don't know how long she's going to get away with that for, but for now it works for her. Why am I telling you all of this? Because it is really easy for our Thanksgiving to become routine. It is really easy for our Thanksgiving to be out of duty, like that commentary was talking about before. And when we are thankful and give thanks in this way, that's just out of routine, that's just out of duty, that's not gratitude. It's not gratitude. It's just nice manners. And we need to do better when it comes to thanking God than just being well-mannered and polite. Mums love a thank you. But more than just a thank you, what we really love is a genuine and sincere thank you. And our Heavenly Father, He too really appreciates a genuine and sincere thank you. Not one just done out of routine or duty or said so fast that even God can't understand it. We need to be thankful and give thanks on purpose. We need to be thankful and give thanks. We need to make the choice, make the decision, and do it on purpose. I'm trying to teach Violet right now to be grateful for the abundance of clothes and toys that she has. And I understand it's really hard for little kids to grasp that. Because for as long as she's been aware of what she's wearing, she has always insisted on wearing a dress over pants, and in particular, the dress has to spin. She's a girl who likes her dresses to spin and twirl. So when she spins around, her dress flutters all around her like a princess in a fairy tale. She's always been like that. She's never watched a fairy tale, but she just likes her dresses to spin. Don't even try to give her a dress if it doesn't spin. It's not what she wants. And so I say to her, Violet, there are little girls in the world who don't have any dresses. There are children in the world that are wearing rags. And I try to get her to see the bigger picture, to try and not get caught up in the details of what she thinks her clothing needs to look like. And sometimes it's really easy for us to get caught up in the details of what we think our life should be or what we think our life should look like. And when we do that, it can be really easy to become ungrateful. It can be really easy to be ungrateful when we get caught up in the details. And that's exactly what the Israelites did. They got caught up in the details. It said that study Bible passage said, in their ingratitude, they preferred death. They preferred death because they didn't see the big picture. The big picture was that they were free. The big picture was that they weren't in slavery anymore. But they got caught up and focused on the details, that their life wasn't spinning, wasn't twirling. Their life didn't look like a fairy tale. It wasn't what they thought it should look like. And as much as mums love getting thanks, and as much as anyone loves getting thanks, we need to give thanks even more, even more. And I don't want to be a mum who is only grateful when my dress is spinning, when my life looks like a fairy tale. I don't want to only be grateful when my children are behaving and waking up at a reasonable hour. I don't want to be a wife who is only grateful when her husband cleans the windows inside and out and makes the bathroom sparkle more than I can. I don't want to be a Christian who is only grateful and thankful to God when I'm feeling blessed, when my prayers have all been answered and my bank account is full. I don't want to be that kind of person. If we are only thankful when we have got everything we want, then we know nothing about what it means to have Christ-like character. Let me say that again. If we are only thankful when we've got everything we want, then we don't know anything about what it means to have a Christ-like character. We have been taught to say thank you when we get something, a meal or a present, or when someone does something nice to us. And like I said before, that's politeness. And that's good manners. But let's learn to go beyond just being polite and well-mannered and say thank you and be thankful even when we don't get what we want, even when God doesn't do what we want him to. You know, kids and teenagers, you can thank your mum even when she makes a meal that is terrible. And you can thank her even when she washes your clothes and shrinks your favourite T-shirt. You can still thank her. Do you know why? Because she's fed you and she's clothed you. And that's the big picture. And we need to see the big picture. Let's remember, it is always possible to be thankful. Why is it always possible to be thankful? Because we are God's children. If you are a Christian, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then guess what? It is possible for you to be thankful all the time because we always have his presence in our lives. We always have his victory. We sung about that this morning. We always have eternity waiting for us. We always have his love and his grace. We always have his forgiveness. And we will always have freedom from sin and death. That is the big picture. I've got one last verse that I want to leave you with this morning. And that is in 2 Corinthians 4:15. And it says this: all this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow for the glory of God. And I love that picture or that idea of thanksgiving overflowing. So if you're a cup, that thanksgiving is full, right? Because it's possible to be full of thanksgiving all the time, but it's not just full, it's overflowing. And again, it's not overflowing for the sake of it, but it's overflowing to glorify God. There is a purpose in our thanksgiving. There is a purpose in our gratitude. And I've talked about being thankful and I've talked about giving thanks, but gratitude is actually a step further. The definition of gratitude is this. It is the quality of being thankful, and it is readiness to show appreciation and to return kindness. So gratitude is actually acting upon the thanks that you have. It's a doing word. It's a response. It should overflow from our lives to glorify God. That's the bigger picture. Gratitude goes deeper than just thanks. And so kids and husbands, let your thanksgiving for your wife, for your children, overflow this day into action. Let it overflow into action, and not just this day, but every day. And you know what? Mums too. We need to do the same thing. We need to allow our thanksgiving to overflow. So when even we don't feel grateful, when it's hard, when it's tempting to complain, let's be thankful anyway. Let's be thankful on purpose with each other and with God. And so I would love to finish this Mother's Day service with the opportunity to do exactly that, to thank God, but allow that thanksgiving to overflow out of our lives and to glorify Him. And so my encouragement for all of us, and again, whether you're a mum or whether you're not a mum, let's all be grateful in whatever season we are in right now, because in whatever season we're in right now, there is opportunity for us, and it is always possible to be thankful. Let's pray, church. Father, we thank you so much for just the encouragement that your word gives us. Lord, I thank you so much that all of us, no matter who we are, we can be thankful and grateful because of who we are in you. And we sung about that this morning, about who we are in you, the truths about what it means to be a child of yours. And Father God, we pray, I pray for all of us that you would encourage us to look at the season that you have us in right now and be grateful, choose to be grateful, whether we feel it or not, whether it's hard or not, that we would choose not to complain, but we would choose rather to be thankful, to have an attitude of thanks, and to give thanks, to say it. And Lord, I just pray that you would cause us to remember the blessings of you this day. Lord, that we would not be like the Israelites that forgot about the miracles of God, but that, Father God, we would be intentional and purposeful about remembering the blessings that you have given us, because all of us are blessed. It might look different, but we have your blessing upon us. And so, Father, I pray that this day, that mums would feel thanked, but also that mums would be thankful, and that families would be thankful, that individuals would be thankful, not just for what we have, Father God, from you, but who you are to us and who we are in you. So Lord, let your blessing be upon this day. We thank you, God, for mums, and we just give you thanks in Jesus' name. Let it overflow from our lives to glorify you in this world and in our community. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's worship, church. Have a wonderful Mother's Day, Mum.